Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. As we celebrate our 71st church anniversary, we are bringing you some classic sermons from Dr. Williams dating back to the late 80s and early 90s. So kick back, relax, and enjoy a powerful word from the Lord.
Glory. trouble water. Lord, you're my guide and my closest friend. You are the Alpha and the Omega, my beginning, and you are my end. That's why I say, Lord, you're my bridge over troubled water. Lord, you're my guide and my closest friend. You are the Alpha and Omega, my end. That's why I said, Lord,
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 Lord, Lord,
Lord,
Lord,
Lord, Lord,
everything. You're the air that I breathe.
You're the air that I breathe.
And you're the song that I sing.
My life.
Come, lead us to the throne of grace. We ask that every heart would pray this morning, that the Lord would bless. We'd cry out to him and he would answer our petition. Brother Reese would come, lead us to the throne of grace.
Most gracious and holy Father, Lord, here we are again, one Easter Sunday. Father, as we bow now, we look to the hills from whence cometh our help. We look to you, O God, because you have all power within your hand. You are mighty and you are majestic. You are good. You are gracious. You're merciful, Father. And for that this day, Father, we want to come bow down, saying that we love you, we thank you, we adore you, we lift up our hands and we give you the praise. For you have been so good to us. In fact, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. You've allowed us to see yet another day. And for that, Father, we say thank you. Thank you because you did not turn your back on us while we were yet in sin. Thank you because one Friday on Calvary's cross, you sent your son to die. And he died that we might have a life. And that life everlasting. Father, we say thank you. Thank you, God, because you saw fit one day to call us home to be your children and you to be our God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have our family and our friends. Thank you, Father, that we have this church to come and worship you and give you the glory and the praise. Now, Father, we just bow this morning, saying that you touch each and every one of us here, that you give strength to those who know you, that you would love them and continue to be their God and their strength. Then, Father, there are some here today who don't know you in the pardon of their sins. We ask that you touch in a mighty way. Anoint your speaker this morning that he may speak and preach the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for this day. Oh, how we love you. We also come bowing and ask that you'd forgive us of our many sins. For you said in your word that if we'll confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us. Honor your word today. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for your son who died. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Not only did he die, but he rose again on the third day. Thank you, Lord, that we have that life and that life everlasting. In his name we do pray with forgiveness of sins. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. the day or hour, but he's coming back with great power to take his children home. No more to roam.
He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
Oh, the bridegroom is soon to return. Better keep your lights and trim burning. Oh, he's coming for his bride. A righteous church worldwide. Yeah.
Won't be long.
Behold him in all of his glory. No more sickness, no more pain. Loved ones gone on, we'll see again. God will wipe away our tears. He's gonna banish all our fears.
He's coming back.
Yes, he
again.
Is.
He's coming back again.
Oh, listen, you still have time to get on board. Cry out to Jesus, say, save me, Lord. He'll answer you when you call. Oh, he'll catch you before you fall. Hey, oh, Lordy. Yeah, oh, Lord. Every day will be Sunday. Yeah.
No more goodbyes.
He's coming back for you.
He's coming back for
me. Oh, he's coming on back for you.
I'm living to
Hey, yeah. He's coming on back for you.
He's
yeah.
Coming back for me.
Oh, Lordy. And the question is,
are you ready?
Turn with me today to the Gospel of John, chapter number 19, verse 30. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse number 30. Let us read it together. When Jesus therefore had received them, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up. Now would you turn with me, Matthew 27:35. Someone might say, why do we read Matthew first? Because they're just the opposite. Matthew 27:35. Let us read it together when we find it. We won't talk about this morning. We solicit your prayers. He died. He died. In fear of theological misconception of my subject, I am keenly aware that most of what you hear today is that he rose from the grave. But without his death, there would not have been no resurrection. So we are going to open our case. He died. The conception of this world has pinned many flowers on what has been accomplished throughout the universe. You can go in any library, any bookstore, and read about men and their accomplishments. Women, and now young people who are writing books on directions. Many of these books could be valuable to people if the ones that would read it, if they would follow some of the directions. For in many instances, the people that write books is not part of them. It's either some vision, some dream, or some imagination of the mind. For real life, in many instances, does not match the average modern book you read. But there is a book you can read that will take you from now unto eternity. On the way to Calvary, Jesus declared, "Weep not for me, but for yourselves and your children." Seemed to be an echo of the murderous words they had just heard. "His blood be on us and on our children." And oh, how his blood has been on them through all the centuries. The crucifixion, my friends, is a mark of our history that can never be undone. We hear many things about Calvary, the death of Christ, his ministry, his endeavor to save the world. There's much said in the post-resurrection. But my friends, there is nothing more significant than Jesus' death. You just read his garments are parted among the soldiers. You read the subscription that King of the Jews is placed above his head. In three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that all might read and understand what crime he was accused of. In the Bible, he's mocked, scoffed at, jeered by the chief priests, elders, scribes, and soldiers. Even church people helped to ridicule him. What a hard-hearted, inhuman, brutal, my friends, crowd it was. Today thou shalt look back and understand that at his death, Jesus did not need any assistance. Even at his cry was not like ours. If you follow the life of Christ, you will discover, my friends, the tradition that the cross that Jesus was hanging on and one that he hung him on was a terrible act of the Roman government. It was a place that thieves, crooks, and criminals and murderers was hung. Yet we have one who had not committed a crime. The Bible says he died. Crucifixion, I said, was Roman's punishment for
slaves, foreigners, and criminals who were not Roman citizens. It was the most agonizing, my friend, death. It was the most cruel device that was in humanity's times. Nails were driven through the hands and feet, and the victim was left hanging there in agony, starving, suffering, and thirsty. And nobody felt like giving them any assistance. The man that they have just stayed his execution for 10 days have received more mercy than Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus is the author of mercy. If you read your Bible and read them very carefully, you will discover that it was 9 a.m. they arrived at Golgotha, which is a hill called Calvary. As they are about to drive, my friend, in this area, I can see Christ carrying a weight that I should have been carrying. Jesus did not do anything to deserve what he received. It declares to me then that if Jesus had to suffer, what about us? When you look at how Jesus penetrated this world, nobody else has done what he has done. There is much said, I repeat, about the resurrection. And I know it is the greatest thing that has ever happened. But my brothers and sisters, do not misunderstand me. I repeat, he died. And I'm going to talk about the death of Christ. His death is significant. It is all important. It is all, my friend, impressive. You say, how can death be impressive? His death was so impressive until heaven stood still. It is all inclusive. There was nothing left out at his death. It is dynamic. For it was so dynamic until everything was in existence started changing its direction. It is far reaching. For the Bible said when he died that the grave cracked open and saints got up and found their rightful place. And heaven shook. The reason I know it shook because midday became midnight. I tell you, he died. The Bible would say that this world has not been the same since Jesus died. It has changed the world. Man, it has changed mankind. His death has even changed some of our views about heaven. The reason it changed some of our views, many of us thought that God was a tyrant and sitting on the throne waiting to cut us down. But Jesus came along to give to us that God is love. And in spite of us, God still is in control. I said, he died. Jesus said, I must work the work while it is day of him that sent me. I came to do my Father's will. At the close of his ministry, he made it very clear that this was the reason I came to earth. Jesus got caught up while he was on earth, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, opening sight for the blind. But that was not the reason he came here. For he has blessed many of us to lay hands through his power. to give sight to the blind. I know many people have been physically blind, and God has blessed some people to let him use them. And through their prayers, he has healed. The person. For there's no human being can claim to be a healer. It has to be through Jesus Christ. For there's no power in us, but there's power who engulfs us. He says, I came to do my Father's will. He blocked streets into the city of Jerusalem. And he said, well, I never read in the Bible. You have not read your Bible. If you know anything about the triumph entrance of Jerusalem, crowds flooded the streets. Jesus almost caused a riot as he entered into Jerusalem to tell this world goodbye. My friends, not only did he block city streets, he blocked lanes, highways, and even the sea. When the sea got out of control, listen to Jesus says, behave yourself. He said that by when he calmed the raging sea and he put a hush to the wild wind. My friends, if you notice, in spite of that, he died. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He stopped the widow woman's en route to the cemetery and raised her only son. My friend, he's the only one I know that said, no man taketh my life, but I will lay it down. Not only did he stop the funeral procession, he's the only one you would ever read about. There wasn't any before him. There won't be any after him. That opened up a baker shop out in the desert and made bread and meat and had waiters to serve it and didn't have nobody sitting around grumbling. I'll tell you, but he died. Jesus is a wonder, wonder maker. The reason I know he's so wonderful in his making, look at me. He made somebody look like me and then turned them out to be a human being. And then if you don't want to look at me, look at yourself. If you'd have had something to do with it, you wouldn't look like you look. You would have been the most gorgeous, beautiful, handsome thing on earth. But God wasn't selfish. He made everybody the way he wanted them to be. Yet I said he died. He preached in the temple. He was scorned by priests, elders, my friends, who knew the word, but they were churchgoers. My friends, the Bible will tell you, not only did he heal the sick, not only did he feed the hungry, not only did he raise the dead, not only did he work many miracles, but I tell you, he died. Now the question comes to mind, if he could do all of that, then preacher, why did he die? The Bible says in the book of John, I halves of John. You will discover there are many I halves of John. In the 17th chapter, listen to what Jesus says. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished, my friends, thy work. I have manifested thy name. I have given them thy word. I have kept them. I have given them thy word. I sent them into the world as you sent me. I've given them thy glory. I know thee, and I demonstrated to them. I declare unto them thy name, for I told them there is no other name under heavens while they can be saved, but at the name of Jesus. In spite of all of that, he died. The Bible will tell you the fulfillment of the scriptures of the suffering Christ had to be fulfilled. Jesus, in his death, he defeated Satan. He, my friends, he was able to break down the middle wall of the partition to make Jews and Gentiles one. In his death, there was a way to personal access to God from now on. At his death, you will discover he canceled the reign of death. He taken the stain out of death. At his death, he demonstrated the obedience and love to death. For the Bible said he died and said not a mumbling word. My friend, you will discover in his death, the Bible says that salvation for all sinners has now been accomplished. You can now receive him because of his death. The Bible says at his death, Christ was able to make peace between God and man. For before his death, man had not heard from God in more than 400 years. His death brought about a cancellation of the mortgage claim that Satan had on mankind. The Bible said Jesus paid the mortgage payment. And what I like about him, nobody else has had to substitute what he didn't pay. At his death, satisfaction of the full justice of God was made satisfied. At his death, the Bible says that boldly healing for all mankind was produced. A way for the full embodiment of power and anointing of the Holy Spirit at his death. Jesus was able to blot out of the old covenant and make and seal us in the new covenant. At his death, Jesus looked down and saw sinners like you and I. A few years ago, there was a gentleman who was teaching one of our universities, and one of the students asked him, "How does it feel to be a sinner?" His reply was to her, "I've never been a sinner. My father was a professor, and my mother was a professor, and I've never been a sinner." The young lady reared back in her chair and crossed her legs and said to him, "You are a sinner now, and you'll always be except you accept Jesus." I said that to tell you, Jesus has proclaimed to this world, none of us now have to be a sinner. But we have to look at his death. Now, his death presented some significance. For if it had not been for his death, you and I will still be in our sins. Psalms 22:1, verse 14 through 18. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bones. My strength is dried up like, my friends, ashes. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Thou pierced my hands and my feet. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's in the book of Psalms long before Jesus died. Listen to Isaiah 53:3-9. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet he did esteem him strictly smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had, my friends, done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him. Romans 6:5, 6, and 8, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. 1 Peter 2:21-24, Christ also suffered for us, who when he was, my friend, brought to Calvary, he did not have any business at Calvary. But because of his love for us, the Bible says he died. At Calvary, there were some interesting things said about Christ. If you read your Bible, Jesus declared at Calvary, listen at him, Father, forgive them. At the bottom of the cross, they had those who called him names. Wine bibber. They called him a liar, a thief. They called him an adulteress. All of this was at the cross. But listen at my Savior as he prepared himself to die. Father, forgive them. Mother, behold thy son. To the thief this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I tell you, he died. To the cloud below and to his Father in heaven, I thirst. I would believe and would like to think that Christ, who had given so much, now hanging on a cross, talking about I thirst. Where were the woman at the well that he saved? Where were the 5,000 men, women, and children who he gave hunger? He fed them with fish and bread. Somebody ought to have been able to give him something to drink. Where were the widow woman and her friends and family that he raised her son from the dead? Where were Lazarus Rutherford when he hollered out, I thirst? I tell you, my friends, when the time comes, when God summons you to come home, nobody is going to come to your rescue. The reason that that is, first of all, they're human beings. And humans have not made themselves available to die for another human. I tell you, he died. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This cry was not that Jesus didn't know that what his Father was going to do. Let us not misunderstand. Jesus Christ was God. At the same time, he chose not to be equal with him. But he still was God. And now he has put on him the sins of mankind. And his Father had to turn his back. For God cannot allow sin to be in his presence without something being done about it. Along in the pain of hell to keep us from going there, Jesus says, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm glad that God did not respond. And then he cried out, my friends, not only do I thirst brings fever. It also brings, my friends, pain, because the stomach cries out for something to drink. First, where the accomplishments are the crucifixion. It may have meant more, but that's enough for us. They offered him vinegar. His suffering was over, and he took it. But listen to him at the cross. It is finished. A cry that none of us could ever make. I don't care how long we live. We are never finished what we would like to finish. We might finish what God assigns unto us, but at the end of our death, we still have something else we would like to accomplish. But Jesus said, It is finished. And I tell you, my friends, a cry of triumph relief and a cry of joy. The long reign of human sin and death is now broken, for it is finished. Blood and water came from his side. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. I tell you, he died. How do you know he died, preacher? You only read it in the Bible. And you can't prove that the Bible is of God. Well, let me argue with you for a few moments. He died. Not only do I know he died, but the Bible records it. And archaeology found it for themselves. While they were looking, I already know he had died. One of the reasons that I can tell you he died, the earthquake came about at midday. Never in the history of this world had they had an earthquake when nobody else died. But when Jesus died, the earth got drunk and couldn't sit still any longer because his handiwork was being tampered with. The man who made the world and hung the stars and created the earth and sucked in this universe the moon and the sun, when they decided to mess with him, the Bible said the earth cracked. I'm here to tell you, not only did it crack, but the veil was rent, which means in the temple, the high priest had to go in and atone for your sins and mine. But when he died, the veil rent in half, which says to me, God has put back everything else. Now I can go in boldly before the throne of grace. I tell you, he died. Not only did the veil rent, but the tombs was open. Now, somebody said once, Reverend, do you really believe the dead got up? I don't believe it, I know it. If God can make a man and then stand him up and breathe in him and then put him back to sleep and take a rib out his side and make women look like you, he can certainly get up. I tell you, he did die. Then, my friend, the Bible will tell you, not only did the tombs open, but God, my friend, not only did God allow this world to witness for him, the centurion who stood by and said, surely he must have been the Son of God. Well, I told you all of that, but I've lived long enough now. I don't have to read it no more in the Bible. I'm a living witness. He got up from the grave. But let me tell you some more about him dying. If he would not have died, you wouldn't be in this church today. For I'm here to tell you, if he would not have died, women couldn't go in the same church with men. Women had to be cast aside and pushed back and thrown back. But since he died, women, you ought to be the first to come to the house of God and bow on your knee and pray for men who don't want to come. Jesus brought you down to the front line, and nobody else can put you back because he died to put you in first place. I'm here to tell you, he died. Now, when he died, let me share when he died. Not just he died, but when he died. When he died, the sun refused to shine. Now listen to this, my friends. I've been here for a few years. I've seen tornadoes. I've been in a tornado. I have lived across the street and look out my window when I was a boy. And so a house across the highway was pointing towards my house. And a tornado came and lifted it up and turned it back to the front. I've seen trees sail through the air. I've seen trees 50 years old split like splinters. I've seen tornadoes. I've seen hailstorms. And I've seen sandstorms. And I've seen it so dark until you would thought it was night. But I have never seen it. The Bible said it was so dark at midday until the chickens got confused and went to roost for the night. That's dark as you can ever go. That tells me that he died Not only did that happen, not only did the chicken go to roost, but the sun refused to shine. And you know why the sun couldn't shine? There could not be the S-O-N and the S-U-N at the same time. One of those suns had to go down. And so I tell you, I'm glad the S-O-N put down the S-U-N. That tells me he did die. Not only did the sun refuse to shine, but the Bible said the moon dripped away in blood. Now, how many years science has been here? Nowhere scientists can record that the moon has ever dripped again since Jesus died. So you can say whatever you want to say. He died. The reason he died, because not only was it evidence that the moon was dripping in blood, but the moon represented in his blood that there is the sun shedding his blood on Calvary. And he can't do it by himself. And so if I can't do anything else, I just drip away. Yeah. Let the world know he died. Yeah. Then yes, one other thing he did when he died, not only did the moon drip away in blood, but all church, I'm here to tell you all, he died. Yeah. Oh, he died. Yeah. Their holy words were never spoken than spoken about Calvary. Right. The reason I like to talk about Calvary, it is where I first saw the light. Yeah. Calvary is where I was first set free. Oh, I know people say in America, said Lincoln freed us, and the biggest lie ever been written or told. I tell you, I was free. My grandparents was free long before Lincoln came on the scene. They could have been shackled by racism, but they were free in their hearts. They were not able, my great-grandmother told me, she couldn't sing out the glory of God. But she said she would get down and put her head in her lap between her legs and said, Lord, don't let my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren be like I am. That's what I tell you. She was free in her spirit. And you can be incarcerated, chains on your feet, and shackles in your hand, but if your heart is free, you are free indeed. I tell you, holy songs were never sung than those sung about the cross. Holy articles have never been written than those written about Golgotha. More holy than grounds where Abraham offered up his son, Isaac. More holy than the place where Noah's ark landed following the flood. At Calvary, it was holy. Now, it was meant to be a criminal place, but they made it holy because the holy God died on Calvary. And my friends, more holy than the mountains where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Calvary was more holy than Bethel, where Jacob wrestled with an angel with the Lord. Calvary is more holy than the Holy of Holiness, within stood the sacred ark of the covenant. Calvary was more holy than the vision of Isaiah, where he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Calvary was more holy than the island where John received his revelation, where the place where our Lord and the Savior gave his life to redeem us from our sin. Therefore, we tread softly, very swiftly, as we enter into the consideration of his death. I tell you a few things and then I'll close. Let us first consider why he died. There's a lot of people don't know why he died. Well, I want to tell you today, when you leave here, you will know from now on why he died. Who was and is the epitome of glory? He was the epitome of love, of power, of grace and truth, and our perfection. Have to die. Why did a holy God, a perfect God, a glorified God, a living, loving God, why did he have to die? The answer simply lies in the fact that from the beginning of time, he looked down at human race and he saw our sin. He investigated our circumstances. He realized our guilt. He knew our despair. He weighed our burden. He witnessed our weaknesses. And he observed our hopelessness. And he realized that mankind was helplessly lost and destined for hell unless he organized and established a perfect, complete plan of salvation. Man would wind up in hell. Furthermore, he looked down and surveyed our valleys. He measured our mountains. He calculated our losses, and then he died. He comprehended our sorrow. He investigated our mistakes. He counted our failures, and he visualized our destiny, and he was moved with compassion towards us. And therefore, the very purpose of his coming to this earth was not to be born in flesh, was not to live a separate life, was not to work, my friend, with his mighty hands. He was not here to work miracles. He was not here to heal, although he did all of these. But, my friend, the supreme purpose of his coming was to provide us with a solution to our problem and to make available everlasting life to those who would put their trust in him. Therefore, he came down from heaven's glory to earth's shame. He encountered our enemies. He appraised our needs. He felt our pain. He tasted our bitterness. He faced our fears. He confronted our problem. And I tell you, he died. That's why I love him so. Reason I love him so, he overcame our obstacles. Or, in other words, he stepped into our shoes. And knowing that he would never enter the jaws of heaven because of what he was, and because his death penalty was upon us, the Bible says, for all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. Therefore, he took what steps was necessary and redeemed us through his death, even the death of the cross. I tell you all, he died. He went to Calvary not because he had done wrong, not because he had committed sin, not because he had displeased or displeased his Father, but because we had at Calvary. Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was pierced for our guilt. He was suffering for our shame. He was tortured for our shortcoming. He was beaten for our wrong. And he was crucified for our sin. Yes, he suffered not because of what he was, but rather because of who we are. It is our fault that he died. But I'm glad that it is our fault. I'm glad he died. Well, my mother, she put herself in a serious predicament when I was to be born. Death was in front of her. To have a child born in this world, a mother puts her life in jeopardy. My mother's life was in jeopardy when I was born. But I tell you, she's trying it because she had love for her husband and for her baby. But she could not measure what Jesus did. Jesus, not only did he put his life in jeopardy, the Bible said he died. Well, I'm glad he put his life in jeopardy. For since he died, I don't have to worry anymore. Oh, I have problems, and I have perplexities, I have disappointments, and I make shortcomings on myself, and I'm ridiculed by others, and I have some so-called friends, and I have some so-called acquaintance, but nobody is willing to die for Ephraim. But I'm glad I had somebody that was not only willing, but he died for me. I don't care what this world has to say. Since he died, I don't have to die no more. Since he died, I don't have to worry no more. Or I might fret and I might get upset, but I don't have to worry, for he died. And in his death, look what he did. He said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Now, when his death came, you know his spirit and his soul cannot die. Only the body died. But when he went back to heaven, the reason I know that I have somebody on my side, he let his disciples pray all day, all night long, somehow for so many days and so many nights. Jesus declared, now, Father, they prayed long enough. I must let them know what I promised them, that when I get back to my Father, I'm going to send back to them the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he'll reprove the world. And that's how I know he died. Not only did he die, but he rose again. And when he got back to heaven, he sent back on earth the Holy Ghost. And I don't have to tell him no more. All I got to do is to come in, fill my heart, and fill my save yourself. Salvation is now complete. Hell has now been shut down. Those who go to hell want to go. Those who want to go to heaven can go. I tell you, he died. I'm glad he died. Oh, my friend, if you don't believe he died, fall on your knees. Call up heaven. Tell God, I don't believe you died, but if you did die, here I am. Down here wet. Here I am. Suffering in my sins. And if you're alive, come in my soul. And I challenge you, before you get off of your feet, God will step in. How do you know he stepped in? He got up with all power in his hand. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else can say I got all power. Oh, the United States powerful. United States have all kind of weapons. They have a powerful president. They have more money than any other country in the world. But America can't say I got all power in her hand. Region can't say it because it's run by mankind. But God who sits high, God who looks low, God who sits under the ground, God who sits in the sky, he got up and said, I got all power in my hand. And he got power to save, and he got power to keep you, and he got power to fill you. And yes, he got up after he died and declared to this world, it is finished. It's finished. And I'm glad today
that he died. He died. But he didn't stay there. He got up. Skeptics say he didn't get up. But you see, skeptics cannot take his place. I'll tell you the story. We give the invitation. 10 years ago, I was preaching a funeral. And I was warned before I was preaching the funeral that there's a possibility that we'd be attacked. I took two people with me, and I put one man. I told him to stand up, don't sit down. You stand to the right, one stand to the left, and watch while I preach the funeral. The man got up. The brother got up and said, you said that God giveth, God taketh away. God didn't take my brother. His wife did. And if you say that again, I'll take yours. When you know for yourself, all I did was raise my hand, never repeat nothing to him. I said, in the name of Jesus, to myself, I said, back him off. He went down. That's how I know he got up. Not only does he have all power, but those of us who are saved, we have some power. If you don't believe it, I dare you. When the enemy come near you, I dare you. I dare you to live for him. Live for him to the way that when the enemy come, just stand up. Tell the enemy, I've got a God who is alive. And if God allow him to get through you, that means he want to do it. There's no devil in hell on earth can cross the boundaries of God if you got him in your life. But you got to walk with him, talk with him, live with him, share with him. He is alive today. Try him for yourself. He's the best thing you could ever get.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You can't name me nothing that'll supersede what he can give you. Nothing. Whatever you name, you can't name me nothing that'll supersede what he can give you. Let me repeat. You can't name me nothing that'll supersede what he can give you. Now we do not walk during the invitation.
No one walks, no one talks. If you're talking, you're praying. The Bible says Jesus stands at the door and knock. Any man open his heart and let him in. He'll come in. Now here is something that I think we miss sometimes, we who are not saved. Jesus said, I'll come in and suffer with you. Whatever your case might be, I'm with you. Then he says, once I get there, how long will you be there, Jesus? I'll never leave you. He says, if you are burdened down and heavy laden, the invitation is to whosoever will. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Rest of your soul. Rest from your cares. Rest from your world. And then the Bible says, he loves us and he wants us saved. For he has a plan for our lives. Now I'm going to pray. And you, these chairs in front of me, right in front of the pulpit, would you kindly come? Those who want to accept Christ, take these chairs. God, our Father, we thank you. As the Holy Spirit moves, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come today? If you're in the second vestibule there at the door, we have time to wait on you. You're in the overflow room? You're in the balcony? You're on the main floor? Will you come today? Now the Holy Spirit speaks as this word goes forward. Would you obey him today and come? Will you come? Take these chairs in front of me. God bless you, young man. Would there be another one? God bless you, young man. Would there be another one? God bless you, young man. Would there be another one? Why the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Don't turn him away. This is your day. Will you obey him today? If you're in front of me in the main balcony, will you come? Will you come on the main floor? In the overflow room, will you come? God bless you. Will that be another day? Will that be another one? Will that be another day? We'll say yes to him. And give me strength. God bless you. Will that be another one? Will that be another one today? Will that be another one? God bless you. Will that be another one? Would that be another one? Will that be another one?
From day to day,
it will never. Will that be another one? Take these chairs in front of me. Oh, yes.
Thank you.